Spirit.
Amen.
Blood and the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have offended you, and justly deserve your eternal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you, Lord, and for the sake of the holy innocent and bitter suffering, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner. Upon this your confession, I have heard you my office as a caller and servant of the word, announce unto you the grace of God. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading comes to us from Isaiah chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon him. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. We recite the Psalm 27 responsibly. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. When evildoers assail me, my adversaries and foes, though an army encamp against me, though war arise against me, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. For he will hide me in his shelter. He'll conceal me under the cover of his tent. And now my head shall be lifted up. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, turn not your servant away in anger, and cast me not off, forsake me not. The epistle this morning is from Philippians chapter 1. St. Paul writes, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that's far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. And convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your fault. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord.
Rise.
According to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven was like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about then the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' And so they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day in the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. For I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the gospel of the Lord. We profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory, whose kingdom will have dominion. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord is the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who is taught by Christ. And I believe in one holy Christian Mass of our church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. An hour's pay for an hour's work. You reap what you sow. You get out what you put in. A day's wage for a day's work. And we expect God to operate by the same rules. We expect God to be fair. We expect Him to recognize and reward our blood, sweat, and tears. Then along comes the parable of the vineyard workers, and Jesus drops a loose bolt into our machinery of fairness. And it comes on the heels of one of those upside-down statements from Jesus. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And winners are losers, and losers are winners. Is it fair? Not a bit. God isn't fair. He's just, and He's gracious. But He isn't fair. And so the parable bears retelling. Listen. Vineyard owner went out to hire workers for his vineyard. Let's call him Robert, shall we? As in Robert Mondavi, maker of fine wines. And he has this vineyard that's busting full of grapes. And like all the fine grapes at the end of September, from Napa to Paso Robles, their sugar is perfect. The flavor is at its fullness. The little yeast sticking to their skins are ready for action. The wine master, the foreman, says, it's picking time. There's no time to waste. And so Robert gets in his pickup and crack of dawn, and he goes down to the local Union Hall of Grape Pickers Local 101. And he hires every available worker at union scale, a denarius a day, about $120. And off they go into the vineyards. After a little while, Robert looks over his vineyards, and he notes that the workers that he has hired are barely making a dent in the Cabernet, and much less the Merlot and the Pinot. And so at about 9 o'clock in the morning, he gets back into his pickup, and he heads over to the local Home Depot, where day laborers hang out looking for work. Work in my vineyard, and I'll give you whatever is right. Now, he doesn't say just how much, just says whatever is right. By the way, that word is righteous. Anyway, the workers figure, hey, it's Robert Mondavi, and he pays union, so why not? And off they go into the vineyard. Again, he looks out at his ripening vines and at the clouds that are looming overhead, and it looks like rain is on the way and the Chardonnay really needs to be picked. So he heads again at noon. And then again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he picks up whatever workers that he can find. And still, there aren't enough. It's 5 o'clock, sun is setting, and there are still grapes to pick. And so Robert goes over to the local bar where he encounters, well, how do we describe it? Tattoos, leather, pierced body parts, 2 pounds of moose holding up blue hair, 6 packs, music with the bass loud enough to reprogram a pacemaker at 200 yards. And Robert turns the volume down on the offending boombox, and he says, why aren't you working? And one of them says, well, duh, it's because no one's like hired us, dude. And so Robert looks at his watch, and he looks up at the setting sun and the gathering clouds, and lets out a long sigh. He says, look, Mondavi's my name. I'm famous. I'm rich. I pay. I need workers. You need work. It'll only be for an hour. So what do you think? And they figure, well, hey, it's only an hour, a few bucks. It'll buy some more beer. So why not? And off they go to work in the vineyard. Now, you know how people are, especially at work. Everyone wants to know what everyone else is making. And you know how much fuss there is when someone finds out what the rest of the office makes, especially when someone gets paid more for doing less. So as load after load of workers get dropped off in the field at 9, at noon, at 3, and at 5, you can be sure that before they touch a single grade, they are asking the workers who are already there what good old Robert is paying today. And when they find out it's a denarius a day, they do what the whole human race always does. They do math. Because before they even touch a cluster of Cabernet, they have old Robert figured out, and they're sure that they're going to get 100, 70, 40, and 10, respectively, based on the time they came to work. Well, at 6 o'clock, the bell tolls, and the fun begins. The grapes are in the hopper on their way to the crusher, and Robert, our vineyard owner, is one happy camper, and he's in a good and expansive mood. And he says to the foreman, let's have a little fun. I'm going to fill the pay envelopes myself. And when you hand them out to the workers, do it LIFO, last in, first out. And so the first girl in line with the purple hair and the nose ring gets her envelope. And she walks off, cracking her gum, and opens it to find 6 crisp 20s inside. And what does she do? Well, the one thing she doesn't do is go back to the foreman to report an accounting error. She just keeps walking really fast. And then when her bare-chested boyfriend with the tattoos running up one arm and down the other catches up with her, he can't resist going back to the end of the line and telling all those hardworking union guys how they just got a day's wage for an hour's. Now, what do you suppose the rest of the workers in line then are thinking? Well, they're thinking $120 an hour. And if you're at the end of the line with all the day workers, what does that come to? Do the math. $1,440. And so step one by one, they step up to that table, rubbing their hands together, expecting the biggest payday of their grape picking lives. But in all of their figuring, they hadn't figured on one thing. Robert's pay is based on his goodness, not on their work. And in his goodness, he gives out 6 crisp 20s to everyone, regardless of how much or how little they work. Whether it was 12 hours or 1 hour, whether they picked 100 bushels or half a bushel, each worker gets his or her denarius. And as the line of workers gets shorter, the faces then get longer. Not fair. Say the sweatiest and most exhausted. We've knocked ourselves out in the heat for the whole day, and these pot-smoking deadbeats work less than an hour. That's not fair. But old Robert won't hear any of it. Says, look, pal, a denarius is what we agreed upon, and denarius is what you got. So what's your gripe? I want to give a full day's wage to some 11th hour deadbeats. That's my business, not yours. And who said anything about fair? I may be crazy, but I'm not fair. Fair has to do with the law and with bookkeeping. And I'm good, as in good news, as in gospel. And in my crazy goodness, I choose to do this outrageously gracious thing and to give everyone the same regardless of the work they did. And so what difference does that make to you? Or are you so busy keeping book on everyone else that you resent my goodness? Now we're tasting a very nice cab over in the tasting room, so why don't you just go down there and have a drink? But remember, drinks are on the house. And as usual, the last are first, and first are last. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, lest any man should boast about his works. You see, this is a parable of grace and judgment. Grace for those who least deserve it, and judgment for those who resent it, who turn an evil eye to God because he isn't fair and he dispenses salvation for free. And Jesus tells this parable on his way to Jerusalem to die for the world, not just for the redeemable, respectable, cooperative, hard-working part of the world, but for the whole world, for the first hour winners and the 11th hour losers. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to close the books of the law once and for all and to become last among the losers and to save every last loser in this world. So this parable reminds us that amazing grace is also outrageous grace, because it galls the religious. It grates on our religious sensibilities. It's grace that puts the first last and the last first. It makes winners out of losers and losers out of winners. Think of it. John the Baptist, who worshiped Christ from the womb, gets the same salvation as a terrorist who turns to Jesus at the 11th hour of his life and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The life for a Lutheran gets the same denarius as the drunk driver who says, "Jesus, have mercy on me," as he crashes through the windshield on his way to his death on the 11th hour, 59th minute, 59th second of his life. And nothing irritates the religious of this world more than undeserved kindness. It just doesn't seem fair, this upside down, undeserved goodness. And the labor unions of religion howl at the thought. Unfair, Commandment Keepers Union Local. Then grace wouldn't be grace, wouldn't it? It would be bookkeeping. And if the world could have been saved by bookkeeping, then it would have been saved by Moses and the Ten Commandments, and not Jesus and his bloody cross. It's unfair, at least from the perspective of the first hour workers, and in one sense, many of us are among the first hour workers. Well, maybe more like third or sixth hour. But we were baptized as babies, right? Many of us, we grew up in the church. There has never been a moment of our conscious life when we didn't know Jesus as our Savior. We've worked in his vineyard our whole lives, literally grown up there. And we can easily resent those 11th hour converts who benefit from everyone else's hard work without ever lifting a finger themselves. But Jesus would remind us then that we rob ourselves of the joy of working in our Lord's vineyard, and we spoil the happy hour of the resurrection when we live by the law and insist on keeping book on ourselves and on each other. Because there is no joy in work if we are worried about what the next guy is making. And there's no joy in rising to eternal life if we expect grace for ourselves and deny it to others. Because grace is undeserved kindness, unconditional kindness, kindness on the part of God that has nothing to do with what we did or didn't do, whether we were a success or a failure. And so if a dying thief on the cross or a drunk hurtling through his windshield gets the same denarius as we do, well then praise be to Jesus that it truly is by grace through dead trust in dead and risen Jesus and not in anything we do. And so if there's room enough in the kingdom for 11th hour losers, for hookers and thieves and tax collectors, then there's room enough in the kingdom for me and for you. Well then again, we really aren't first hour workers, are we? I mean, others have believed before us, and others have suffered before us, and much more than we have. In fact, St. Paul reminded the Christians at Rome that the Jews came first, and the church is a curious hybrid of Jew and Gentile grafted into Israelite rootstock. And we too are heirs of a tradition. We aren't the first to believe in Christ. There have been workers in the vineyard for nearly 2,000 years. The disciples, St. Paul, Ignatius, Irenaeus, Augustine, Ambrose, Athanasius, Luther, were countless nameless believers who bore the heat of persecution, who defended the faith, and who suffered for the name of Christ. And now in these last days, at the 11th hour, with the sun setting on this old creation, with the fields ripe and the harvest near, the Lord of the vineyard has been so kind as to call to us to work in the same vineyard. And what a privilege that is. When you look at it that way, we are the last, the least, the losers at the end of the line. We came on the scene when the bulk of the work was already done. And we get the same denarius, the same salvation, the same resurrection to life in Jesus as all who came before us. In fact, if we push the parable just a little bit harder, we'll recognize that we haven't done a blessed thing to earn our denarius. It was there in an envelope with our name on it long before we ever showed up for work. And even the work you showed up for is God's doing. So whether first or last, whether called at the first, the third, the sixth, the ninth, or even the 11th hour, whether we have worked hard or little or barely at all, there is a denarius of salvation awaiting us. It was won for all by the death of Jesus. That may not be fair. Then God isn't fair. He's good. And he's gracious. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Pray to the Lord and offer him the petitions and supplications of a people confident of his promise to hear and to answer us with mercy. That we may seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him in the day of salvation and be prepared by his mercy for the day of judgment, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we may delight in the light of Christ and his salvation, and that sinners may find refuge in his mercy and comfort in his forgiveness, let us pray to the Lord. That we may hear the voice of God speaking in his word and be nurtured by faithful pastors who preach and teach this gospel, let us pray to the Lord. That this word may be the foundation of the home, and that husband and wife may be united in this faith and hope, and that their children may hear and be nurtured in this word by faithful parents, let us pray to the Lord. That the church may nurture the lives of our children in Sunday school and catechism classes, and that we may all be grounded in the doctrine of Scripture through the study of God's word, let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord may bless missionaries far and near, that he may nurture newly planted congregations, and that he may renew those congregations in distress, and that those from every nation and culture may be united with us in faith and life, let us pray to the Lord. That we may enjoy the blessing of good government, faithful leaders, peace in our land, and peace among the nations, and that we may be good citizens and neighbors, let us pray to the Lord. That the sick may be healed, the troubled know peace, grieving be comforted, and the dying be delivered to everlasting life in Christ, and especially for those who we name in our hearts at this time. And that we may all be delivered from fear, anxiety, and despair by God's gracious care, let us pray to the Lord. That we may commune in faith, that no unrepentant sin may hinder our reception of Christ's body and blood, and that the fruits of this communion may be reflected in a manner of life in keeping with who we are as God's children by baptism and faith, let us pray to the Lord. That we may honor the Lord with praise and thanksgiving and bring to the Lord the tithes and offerings of a grateful people, let us pray to the Lord. That we may not forget the witness of the faithful who lived and died in Christ, and that we may at last be joined with them in the marriage supper of the Lamb in his kingdom without end, let us pray to the Lord. Hear the prayers of your people, O Lord, and grant to us all things good and wholesome, and keep from us all things harmful. Give us contentment that, trusting in your mercy, we may delight in your saving will, where the last are made first by your generosity and grace through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you. This do in remembrance of
In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you
true blood of Christ is on you, shed for you. The true blood of Christ, 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 shed for you.
God now and forever.